You can be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Again, I appreciate everybody who prayed for my eye surgery this week. It went very, very well. I can see clearly in the distance now. I don't need glasses for driving anymore. Everything's nice and clear, so praise the Lord for that. But I still need some glasses for reading, I will need those for reading. But other than that, everything went very, very well. And I know that's a result of everybody praying, so we give God the glory for that. But we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. That's one place we're going to look. I'll look at some other places this morning as well, but we're going to start there. But let me begin by saying that several years ago, I read an article in the newspaper by a lady named Stephanie Hoops. And the article in the newspaper asked this question. It was, would you forgive these men? And when you read the article, she mentioned men like Mohammed Atta, the man who led the attacks on the World Trade Center. And she mentioned Timothy McVeigh, who bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City. And she mentioned Ted Kaczynski, the man who was called the Unabomber. And the writer discussed the merits of offering forgiveness to another person who has hurt you. And the caption underneath the article stated this. It said, researchers are finding that forgiving even the most heinous acts can do more than just bring peace. The act of forgiving can affect one's emotional and physical health. Now, to me, it's interesting that social scientists are just now recognizing something that the Bible has been teaching for years. They're finding out, as the Bible teaches, that forgiveness is important spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. I like the words of a little six-year-old girl, had some pretty good theology when she prayed this prayer. She said, Father, forgive us our trash passes as we forgive those who passed trash against us. And that's pretty good, because unforgiveness in our hearts is like trash in our house. It just makes everything an unsightly mess. And so it's important to learn to forgive. And you'll notice the way I worded that. Learn to forgive. Forgiveness is a learned response. A learned response. It's not something that's instinctive. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. Our old sinful nature keeps us from seeking or giving forgiveness. However, the greatest teacher who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to teach us to forgive. Now, the truth is, he has many valuable lessons he wants to teach us, and all of these lessons will help us spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. But today, we just want to focus in on the subject of forgiveness. And so let's look at a passage of scripture here where Jesus himself taught us on this subject, the subject of forgiveness. We're going to look at verses 21 and 22 of Matthew 18. It says, then came Peter to him, that is to the Lord, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, what a challenge. What a challenge that text really is. We are to forgive other people, not just seven times, but even if they hurt and offend us 490 times, we're still to forgive them. So what does this text teach us about practicing forgiveness? Well, first of all, let me say that this text teaches us the importance of forgiveness. Jesus stressed the importance of forgiveness by using a breathtaking challenge. He instructed Peter to forgive up to 490 times, which clearly shows that forgiveness is important. You know, the Spanish have a story about a father and son who became estranged. The son left home, and the father later on set out to find him. And he searched for months with no success. So finally, in desperation, he turned to the newspaper. And he ran an ad, and that ad simply said this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." Well, on Saturday, 800 young men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their estranged fathers, which reminds us that the world is filled with people who desperately long for reconciliation with each other. And may I remind you that the world is also full of people who are desperately seeking reconciliation with God, Forgiveness is important. But besides just saying forgiveness is important, I want to mention two practical reasons why forgiveness is important. The first is this: forgiveness is important because God's forgiveness of us is dependent on our forgiveness of others. Now, I want you to look at what the Bible says about this concept. So take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'll give you a second to get there. Mark chapter 11. Now, this, of course, is Jesus teaching here. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So Jesus says, to receive forgiveness, you must show forgiveness. Forgiveness is important because God's forgiveness of us is dependent on our forgiveness of others. Now, secondly, the second reason why forgiveness is important is because our spiritual freedom depends on our forgiving others. When you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you are in bondage. When you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you are in bondage. And that's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath," that would be hatred, "and anger and clamor." Clamor is when you're just holding everything in and then you finally just explode on somebody, you know, just screaming and hollering. And he says, put that in all evil speaking. Let it be put away from you with all malice. Malice is when you want something bad to happen to somebody else who did something bad to you. He says, put that all away, all that bitterness. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, he warns us about letting a root of bitterness take hold in our heart. We want to avoid that, because if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, you are in bondage. And you will not have freedom when you try to worship. You won't. I want you to look at what Jesus says about this subject as well. This time again, back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In And once you get to Matthew chapter 5, let's see, verses 22 and 23, I believe, are the ones I want. Yes. No, actually, it's 23 and 24. Those are the ones I want. Listen to this. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, that is, if you're coming to worship, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You see, unforgiveness hinders worship. Unforgiveness hinders worship. Unforgiveness keeps you in bondage. I'm reminded of the two little brothers, Harry and James, who had finished supper and were playing until bedtime. And somehow, Harry hit James with a stick. And tears and bitter words followed, and charges and accusations were still being exchanged as their mother prepared them for bed. So she said, "Now, boys, what would happen if either of you died tonight and you never had the opportunity to forgive your brother?" And with that, little James spoke up and he said, "Well, okay, I'll forgive him tonight. But if we're both alive in the morning, he'd better look out." Well, obviously, James went to bed and slept in bondage. He had unforgiveness in his heart as he slept. You see, forgiveness doesn't make the other person right. What it does is it makes you free. It makes you free. And that's an important lesson to learn. The only person you hurt by not showing forgiveness is you. It makes you miserable, right? It keeps you up at night. It gives you agita and high blood pressure. And it robs you of your joy, and it robs you of your peace, and it robs you of your contentment. It is important to learn to forgive. And so these verses teach the importance of forgiveness. However, they also teach, secondly, the impossibility of forgiveness. There's a somewhat humorous story in the passage in Matthew chapter 18. In verse 21, we read where Peter comes to Jesus with a question. And the question was, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And then Peter adds, "Up to seven times?" Now, here's the humorous part. The Jewish rabbis taught that forgiving someone three times was sufficient. And so Peter was offering a generous overstepping of obligation. What he was doing was this: "Lord, look how wonderful I am. I'm willing to forgive people seven times. What a special person I am. If three is the magical number, then seven is really going the extra mile, showing what a wonderful person I am." And then Jesus stunned Peter and knocked the wind right out of his sails when he said in verse 22 that Peter should forgive 70 times 7, 409 times. You can just see it, right? Peter's like, "Oh, look at me." And then the Lord speaks, and it's like, "Oh." You can just see it in the passage. And Jesus' point is that there should be no limit to forgiveness. Here, Jesus was using a teaching method called hyperbole, which is an overstatement or an exaggeration in order to establish a point. This is the same method Jesus used when he referred to a camel passing through the eye of a needle. Obviously, a camel can't pass through the eye of a needle. It's impossible. And in the passage there in Matthew 18, Jesus was teaching that forgiveness, that is, forgiveness according to God's standard, is impossible for us to do. We do not have it within us to forgive anyone. And this is a vitally important principle to be understood in living the Christian life. We cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. We cannot, by our own efforts, bring about a spiritual transformation in our lives. We, on our own, cannot live up to God's standards. We cannot fulfill the teachings of the New Testament. And so the Christian life is a supernatural act whereby God empowers us to do what we could not do otherwise. So what should we do if we find ourselves in an impossible situation, like forgiving someone who has seriously and repeatedly hurt us and offended us? What should we do? How do we forgive someone like that? Here's the answer. Admit you need help to forgive that person. Admit you need help. Someone has written this little prayer that I think illustrates this point. It's entitled A Morning Prayer for Help. It says this: Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, been nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on I'm going to need all the help I can get. Well, the Apostle Paul gave us a verse that will help us to do the impossible. Now, in the context of the verse, Paul was discussing contentment, and he indicated that he had learned to be content in all circumstances. And as he made that statement about becoming content in all circumstances, he added his formula for success. In Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things. And that would include forgiving our enemies, forgiving those who hurt and offend us. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so the starting point of being able to forgive others is to admit you need God's help to make you a forgiving type of person. Just like that, admitting the need for help is at the core of the Alcoholics Anonymous process. Just think about the first three parts of their 12-step process. Number one, they admit they're powerless over alcohol. Number two, they admit there's a higher power that can help. Now, I know who the higher power is. I trust you do too, and that's God himself, right? And then number three, they make a decision to turn their situation over to their higher power. In our case, that would be turning this situation over to the Lord God himself. And really, that's the essence of facing any difficulty. Victory begins when we admit that we need help and that we're facing an impossible situation. And without God's help, it is impossible to forgive people like we should. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're to do that. But we need to ask God to help us to do it. Because as Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. And so we've discussed the importance of forgiveness and how there should be no limit to it. And we've discussed the impossibility of forgiveness. We can't forgive people like we should on our own. We need to ask God to help us to forgive people, right? Now, the third and final thing this morning is this, and that is the inspiration for forgiveness. The inspiration. And we find it in three places. We find it in the Bible. We find it in examples from real life. And then ultimately, we find it in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But let's think about this. First, let's consider a couple of biblical examples. In Genesis chapters 40 through 50, We find the story of a man named Joseph. Joseph was the 11th of 12 children. And while he was still a boy, Joseph was sold as a slave by his jealous brothers. He was carried away against his will and spent many years living in a foreign land. And when that story played itself out, Joseph had the last laugh, because he turned out to be a powerful political leader. And his brothers stood before him seeking his help to keep from starving to death in a 7-year drought. And when they realized his identity, they were stricken with fear. It was like, oh no, we're in big trouble. Joseph's the most powerful man in Egypt, and we treated him terribly. What is Joseph going to do to us? Joseph could have had them destroyed right there on the spot. But instead, Joseph displays God-like character in this situation. I want you to see it. Genesis chapter 50, if you would. Genesis chapter 50. Beginning in verse 19. It says, "And Joseph said unto them," unto his brothers, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." That is, God knew exactly what he's doing, and he has me in exactly in this place, exactly right time. I'm in the place God wants me to be. "But as for you," verse 20 of Genesis 50, "but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What an absolutely remarkable example of forgiveness is set by that man of God. And then another example of forgiveness is found in the life of David, who became the king of Israel. But at one point, before he was king, David was hunted by King Saul, his adversary, as if David were a wild animal. And on several occasions, David could have secretly and easily killed his adversary. But he did not. He chose rather to forgive. And I want you to see that over in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 24. One more passage for us to look up. We'll finish up. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And verse 6, David has just had an opportunity here where he could have killed Saul and gotten away with it easily. He says this, verse 6, "And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." You know, both Joseph and David are wonderful examples of forgiveness from the Bible, showing us that with God's help, it can be done. It can be done. Now, next I want us to consider a couple of real-life examples, although Joseph and David were real-life people, right? I guess we should maybe say more modern examples, okay? At the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned that article I read on forgiveness. And in that article, the author shared an inspiring example of forgiveness. The writer tells the story of a mother whose son was murdered, and yet she chose to forgive the man who murdered her son. As the mother stood before her son's murderer in the courtroom, she said this. She said, I stand before you today with sadness in my heart because you took something from me that I can never get back. But I don't hate you. I just hate what you did to my child. I forgive you, and I love you, and I pray for you every night. Wow. Only with God's help could that kind of forgiveness be shown. Another example comes from World War II, actually. It involves a man named Mitsuo Fuchida. Fuchida was one of the pilots who bombed Pearl Harbor. This man took part in many of the major battles in the Pacific. And he was there on the deck of the USS Missouri at the surrender ceremonies. And although they were defeated, he was pleased with and proud of his behavior as a Japanese pilot. However, after the war, he became very disillusioned when he learned that Japanese POWs were treated humanely, which was a sharp contrast to the Japanese treatment of Allied prisoners. And he also learned of a woman who ministered to the Japanese prisoners. Her parents were missionaries to Japan who had been beheaded by the Japanese. Yet, she had forgiven the Japanese and met the needs of the captured soldiers. And you know what happened? That example of love led Mitsuo Fuchida to the Bible. And he eventually became a Christian and later an evangelist. And before Mitsuo Fuchida's death in 1976, he led thousands to Christ through his preaching in Japan and the United States. And that transformation in his life started when one woman chose to forgive like Christ. That's something to think about, isn't it? The inspiration for forgiveness. Now let's finish up with the last one, of course. The ultimate example of forgiveness was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The holy, righteous, sinless, spotless, perfect, pure Son of God shed his blood and died on the cross in our place, taking upon himself the penalty and the punishment for sin, the penalty and punishment for sin that we deserved. And he did that so that we could be forgiven. He is the ultimate example of forgiveness. He's our inspiration for forgiveness. And he set a perfect example that day on the cross as he looked down upon those who had nailed him there. And he prayed a prayer of forgiveness. In Luke 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so today, we've looked at an important issue in the Christian life, and which really is an issue of following Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. Jesus created you. He died for you. He knows what's best for you. And he knows far better than any social scientist that forgiveness is healthy for you. And he knows that unforgiveness will damage you. And so the important thing is that you trust him, obey him, seek his help, and follow him in this matter of forgiveness. The Bible's teaching is very clear. When we trust in Christ as our Savior, we receive forgiveness from God. And once we have received that forgiveness, we are then to show forgiveness to others as a testimony to the difference Jesus makes in our life. And so I'm going to leave you with one verse of scripture to close the message and to summarize it all up. It's taken from Colossians 3:13. It says this: as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and this very challenging passage of scripture. And I pray that you'd help us now to take the principles that we have learned, these principles of forgiveness, and put them into practice. Lord, help us to seek your help to forgive those who have, that may have hurt us or offended us, even if they've done it many times. Lord, help us not to harbor bitterness and resentment and hate and anger in our hearts. Help us to let those go by turning it over to you and being willing with your help to forgive those who have offended us so that we can know your peace and know your joy and know real contentment in our lives. Help us with this. And Lord, if there's anybody listening, whether they're in church this morning or watching by way of the internet, who does not know Christ, they've not even experienced the forgiveness he can give. Lord, I pray that this morning they'd see this to be their greatest need and they'd open up their heart and invite Jesus Christ in to be their Savior and Lord, to forgive them and give them everlasting life and peace with you. Lord, help them to take that step of faith today and call out to you and receive your gift of salvation. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.